we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud. Yeah. This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm catching up with Lisa Cizio, who was elected last year to the Central Bucks School Board as the director representing Central Bucks Region 4, which covers Warrington. Lisa currently serves as the policy committee chair and represents Central Bucks on the Middle Bucks Institute of Technology Executive Council. Welcome, Lisa. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me.
So several episodes ago, a few weeks back now, had Dr. Mike Thorwart from Council Rock on to provide a insight into what it's been like to be a school board director during all of this. Very interesting conversation. Now, what I'm interested to start out with you is you actually decided that you wanted to be a school board director during all of this.
Crazy enough.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Crazy time to want to be a school board director. Yeah. So how did that happen? How did you decide you wanted to do this?
Let's see. So I had written in a few public comments when we weren't allowed to show up to speak at school board meetings. So then once the public comment opened up to speak, I decided that I was going to start showing up in person, which I had never done before. That was in January of 2021. So shortly after that, I got into my car and received a few Facebook messages from people asking me if I'd be interested in speaking to them about the upcoming school board race.
Oh, and wow. Yeah. You were just recruited.
Really just recruited.
How good was this comment? I got to go back now.
And, and I thought, me? Really? I don't know what I said to warrant that, but sure, I'll talk. And that's kind of where it started. And it took a lot of coaxing, believe it or not. It was probably a good month before I said, yes, yeah. I'll do this. I have kids in every level in the district, high school, middle school, elementary, and it really was the issues that they were seeing through COVID were different for each one of them. And that's what brought me out to the school board in the first place. So I felt like, okay, if I can genuinely make a difference, then I'll give it a shot. I knew it was going to be a lot of work, but I had support behind me. So I thought, okay.
Let's go for it. I was going to ask, knowing what you know now, having gone through it, especially the way that all of 2021 went with the end of summer and the fall and how the election was, did you have an idea of just how hard it was going to be, how much work it was going to take? It seems like more than anyone could have bargained for back in January of 21.
I'd have to agree with that statement. But I will say that when I decided to do this, I was all in, right? So when they said, oh, well, you have to knock on doors. Okay, how many do I have to knock? How do I do that? And I put in the work. I mean, that's really what it came down to. I didn't for one minute ever think, well, I'll just coast on through and see what happens. I was like, no, I really, really want to do this. And so I did. I knocked a lot of doors in the primary. I lost a lot of sleep. I had to sacrifice some things to do it, but yeah, it was a lot of work. Did I anticipate just how much work? I don't think so. But I did it anyway.
And all of that door knocking and deciding, okay, I'm going to do this 100%. I'm not going to be half and half. So you go in there, you're door knocking, you're doing campaigning, talking to all of what are now your constituents, these people in your district. How did that experience change you? I mean, talking to them, hearing their stories, hearing what they're going through, did you have perspective changes? Did it reinforce your belief system?
It reinforced everything that I already thought. I knew from talking to a lot of people in my own region that I was doing this for the right reasons, and that I a lot of people agreed with me, even if they felt like they couldn't say that out loud.
Yeah.
And people are more comfortable in their own homes. So when you knock on their door, tell them who you are, and they're more willing to just kind of open up and be honest about what they see happening in the district for either their kids. A lot of their people's grandkids were affected by this. So, I mean, it wasn't just parents I was talking to. It was grandparents. It was people who had kids that had graduated in the district and didn't like the way they saw things were going. So, yeah, it reinforced everything that I already believed and the reasons that I did this.
I'm curious then, as you're going through primary season and the primary happens, then you're headed towards the general. I'm sure all along, like since the moment you decided to run, you're the type of person who's like, I'm going to do this 100%. Like you said, I'm going to win. I'm going to be on the board. But was there ever a moment when it really started to sink in? Like, wow, okay, this is becoming real. Like I might be on the board and be in charge of these really important decisions.
A moment, I don't know. I felt like every single board meeting I went to was a moment where I was like, I knew I had to get on there. Like, I don't ever remember there being a single moment. I know, probably in August before school opened, because I had been saying since May of 2020 that, well, school's going to open in June. I mean, it will be back at least for like the end of May, June, right? And then in June, I was thinking school's going to open in September. I mean, there's no, right? Yeah. You know, so come by the wrap around to August of 2021, right before the general, when, you know, everything that we thought was going to happen in September kind of came questionable again, like just between.
It was like it happened all over again.
Yeah, the second time. Probably that, maybe it was that moment more than ever that I was just like, okay, we got to win. We have to.
Then it becomes more a vision, like, all right, you're starting to really firm up on what you're going to have to do. So would you say, is it fair to say that COVID was kind of the preeminent thing? COVID policy was the preeminent thing for you when it comes to campaign issue and then like the initial issue once you were on the board?
Initially, yeah. I will say since being on the board, there's so many more things that we do that I almost feel like it's a 24-hour a day job. There isn't an hour that goes by that I'm not thinking about something. You know, it's and I guess it doesn't have to be that way, but I can't imagine being in this position and not caring about every email that comes in or every phone call that you get. It's a lot, but, I think initially it was COVID. I think we're starting to turn and address, you know, other things in the district.
Now the COVID's fading a little bit these last couple months. So I'm curious about that. Just the workload thing you mentioned. I mean, you as a school board director, you're in Central Bucks, which is, you know, twice as large as the next closest school district in Bucks County. Huge. You have a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of the center point of, I think, this divide, left and right divide. Everybody keys in on Central Bucks when it comes to the issues. So when you look at your workload and you mentioned the emails specifically, is the volume at a point where, like, if you wanted to respond to everything, you could? Or is this like you have to prioritize and choose?
You have to prioritize and choose. The good thing is I think the way the board is structured, our leadership is really good at kind of handling, the big issues when they come in. And I appreciate that because we can't respond to every single email. I would say that it's probably the volume picks up the most right after, a meeting. And then it kind of tapers off, as the month goes on, and then it ticks up again around meeting time and after meeting time. And yeah, that's kind of the ebb and flow of it, but yeah, it is. It's a lot.
And so looking at, you know, what you just talked about, how it becomes more prominent during meetings, I feel like there's been this weird thing with COVID where even now that COVID's in the rearview mirror, it's led to so many other things. And I guess it's not that it's led to other things, because a lot of these other issues that are now gaining more prominence in the shadow of COVID, those are issues that were there before COVID.
Sure.
But it's like the way we're talking about things is different. The way people are approaching giving public comment at school board is very different.
Yes.
There's just, How has that affected it, you think? I mean, are people maybe taking advantage of what it was like at school board meetings during COVID and now translating that to all of these other issues?
I think so. I know there's a lot of passion behind a lot of things that people want to come and talk about. So I certainly take that into consideration when you know, people are addressing the board. I don't take anything personally, but I do hear what people are saying. And you know, it you're right. I think COVID got everybody's passions up, and that's carrying over into, you know, whatever is next on the agenda. But as a director, like, I look at it as it's my job to address the issues from the angle how we can handle things. So if an issue comes up where, you know, people tend to make a lot of demands, and there's a way to handle those things appropriately so that, you know, in the future, similar issues that we have, say, like policies. So if things fall back on a policy, it's good to tighten those up so that in the future that issue is addressed. I mean, I don't
like, it can't be knee-jerk reactions.
You
it
cannot.
Has to be structured,
exactly,
rules, policies.
Exactly. Yeah. So I, as someone who was an impassioned parent who showed up at school board meetings, I like to think that I never denigrated anyone in particular, but I do understand where people are coming from. But I think it might be lost a little bit sometimes that the board's job is not to just give everybody what they want all the time. It's really to kind of take a step back, look at the issues, and see how you can solve them realistically.
Yeah.
So, and it's not about one side or the other. It's about what's the appropriate thing to do in this situation. Like, how do we help the administration handle this? You know, how does the administration help us handle this? So it's very much a team atmosphere, especially working with the administration to try to improve things in the district, not destroy them. But it's really about making the decisions that are best to help the kids.
There's another good question is in terms of the administration, once you join the board, you start developing a relationship with the administration. How has that matched up with what your expectations were? And how has that relationship development gone?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because things look very differently on the outside than they do when you're on the inside. So I certainly reserved any judgment on anybody in the district for, you know, when I actually get to know people. And I mean, I've certainly been pleasantly surprised with a lot of things. And I feel like we do have a good team that we can rely on, you know, when I have a question about something, because these people have been on the inside for so long. So sometimes I need things explained to me that I don't understand, but also they're very good about listening to the perspective from, you know, somebody on the outside. So I'm a parent first, always. So sometimes I might see things that as an administrator, they, for however long they've been one, maybe don't see right away. So it's, but they've been great. I mean, it's been good. I have a lot of questions. They have a lot of answers and they're very willing to, they're very open and willing to listen. So that is good.
One of my concerns was as we were moving throughout COVID, so much of the development of like the school board wars, as we call it, was that both sides would insert this wedge between the board and the administration, where like no matter what side you were on, you saw that like boards and administrations were not getting along and those working relationships were hard. So it's good to hear that it's, these are at the end of the day, people, and people can work together, find ways to do the job and do the best they can.
Yeah. I like I said, I'm pleasantly surprised at that aspect of it. Thankfully, I'm grateful.
So, tell me about, I'm real curious to hear about the swearing in, okay? And what I'm going to go with here is something that really stood out to me is this was kind of something you see up and down the whole county. When you watch those December board meetings where new board members were sworn in, the family aspect of it. So many of the folks who were elected had their whole families right there with them. I mean, what is that moment like? You won, went through the campaign, put in all the work and effort that we talked about, and then you're being sworn onto the board.
Yeah.
Just curious what that moment feels like.
Felt pretty great. my family was so extremely supportive. Like it was kind of the culmination for me of all the things that, especially not only my husband, because he was just holding down that fort, man. I give him props. He had to work overtime just, you know, for the moments where I was out working on the campaign.
You mentioned before you have kids in every level of school. So that's the complete spectrum of stuff to do. That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. We're a very busy family. And, but I, in that moment, I was really proud that I could do this with my children there and old enough and aware enough to understand what was going on, with the exception of the real young ones. But I was very proud in that moment. And they were proud of their mom. Yeah. So that's what felt really good. You know, they got to hold the Bible that I swore in on. And it felt really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of your earliest, I guess, I don't know how I'd say this exactly. One of the first things where you really jumped in and were like, okay, I'm going to be the one to say something here, make my stand on an issue, was the Washington, D.C. trip.
Oh, yes.
So this becomes a massive, I don't know how it happened, honestly, because I, like others, was listening at the time. Mm-hmm. Somewhat randomly, because I feel like this year, COVID has just kind of gone away. So I've sort of like started to tune out more and more, but I happened to be listening at the time.
Yeah.
And there comes a conversation about this Washington, D.C. trip.
Yes.
For ninth grade class, I believe it was.
Yes.
Going to go to Washington, D.C. There's a vaccine mandate in place for indoors, all this different stuff.
Right.
And you simply bring up, hey, we have a whole lot of these kids. We talk about like ninth grade. That's what, probably half of kids are unvaccinated, maybe a little more than that.
Yeah. At the time, I think that's what the CDC was saying, especially in Pennsylvania, that at that age group, more than half were unvaccinated.
So it seems pretty obvious and straightforward to me that we should have that conversation. How are these kids? We're not talking like 10%. And even if we were, even we should we care. Were. But we're talking about a big chunk of the kids.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen with them? How's it going to go? And the way it was framed up after the fact was like deeply troubling to me. First of all, it was framed up as like somehow anti-Semitic, that we want to cancel the trip to the Holocaust Museum specifically, as opposed to like Washington, D.C. So first of all, is that correct? Was this just to cancel the Holocaust Museum?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, I think I even prefaced my statement that night with saying that I've been to D.C. several times. I've been to all those places already. It had absolutely nothing to do with anything other than the fact
it would have been the same if it was anywhere else that had a vaccine mandate.
Absolutely.
It even came up about there was a trip to New York, I think, and it kind of came up, but the way it was being handled, they were coming from the Jersey side or something, so it wasn't going to be an issue.
Correct. I think you're probably the, was it the Ellis Island trip?
That's it.
Yeah, the Ellis Island trip. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, it is what it is. We have, a certain segment of the community who just needs to capitalize on whatever they think they can to try to harm. I don't know if it's the district. Or the people on the board that they just don't agree with on everything else. I don't know if their intent is to harm the district in the process. That is what's happening. It's increasing a divide in the district that doesn't need to be there.
And I'll say the bit that maybe you can't say, or I imagine you wouldn't say, but a lot of it was being driven by one of the candidates who lost for school board. And I feel like there's just some sour grapes there. Can't help but feel that.
I can't help but agree with you.
and the part of that story, actually, that I wanted to make sure to speak on, too, that really annoyed me is they jumped all over your comment about Dorney Park.
Yeah.
To try to make fun of you, like, oh, she's...
Yeah.
It was like, oh, she's not educated because you want the kids to go. But like,
to have some fun after being locked up for 2 years, they missed.
Anybody on our side could understand exactly what you were saying. And it was so sweet. It was so empathetic to the kids in their situation.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of the point. But again, it all comes down to if you are really beholden to some sort of divide, then you're just going to be in attack mode no matter what. So it's all intended to intimidate, silence.
Do you feel silenced? Do you feel like you would change something in the future?
No.
No?
Not even a little. Not even a little.
But where do we go with, this divide thing, okay? This is we think about this all the time. The group is moving towards like a little pause or close, we're closing, reopen, as they say. later next month. And a big part of the whole thing is like, look, this community needs to heal at some point. Agreed. We are not blind to the fact that Reopen has, because of what we had to do in these extraordinary times, we've participated in this. We've been one side of this, but the community needs to heal. So what happens next? I'm curious to hear from your perspective on the board, where you see very clearly this passion around COVID just translates to passion around the next thing. And the next thing is just continuing on. How do we get out of this? How do we go back to what it was in 2019 where, you know what, we were divided, there were politics, but like, at least there was a community.
And you could have conversations.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. As far as it relates to Central Box, I think that as a board, we just have to remain dedicated, calm, you know, continue to just really do what's best for the kids in the end. I try to tune as much as that out as I possibly can. So the other stuff, you know,
Social media.
I was not even a social media person before all this. I kind of, in fact, I was on the verge of deactivating my one social media account that I had was Facebook. And I was on the verge of deactivating that before I decided to run. And I was like, okay, now I can't do that. But even now I spend extremely small amount of time on Facebook. That's pretty much all I have. So it doesn't faze me one bit. I don't spend time reading with other people, right? I don't spend time dwelling on anything that people send me that other people write.
It's like, you've got things to do.
I have things to do. Yeah. I have a job to do.
It's just like the mindset when you decided, okay, I'm going to go for it.
Yep.
It's, I've got a job to do. I'm going to go all the way.
Yeah.
And the other stuff is just a distraction.
Yeah. You know? And I think if we just kind of stay on that path where we just don't get drug into the mix of that, I think we'll get there eventually. I hope we'll get there eventually, you know, that you can have a conversation that, you know, isn't yelling into a microphone with someone.
And so when you think about, you know, the divide that's been caused, I'll ask you, I guess, specifically to COVID, because that has been such a preeminent issue. We're doing a Reopen Box podcast here. How do you feel like, as someone who made it onto the board, you won your election, you now serve this whole constituency in Warrington? Is it just Warrington?
It's Warrington, and I have one voting district in Warwick Township.
Warwick, okay. Yeah. How do you, as the director from that region, serve the families, the students who are on the other side of this when it comes to COVID, who want more mitigation, who maybe, you know, they're like the immunocompromised family, kids in families, and they're really scared, or they have their different belief systems. Like, how do you marry up and feel like you serve them?
Yeah, I think our administration has done a really good job of working with each and every family whose child does have a plan because they have some sort of medical issue. So, you know, when people come and yell and scream about that at a school board meeting, it's kind of one of the moments where I wish I could say, you know, we are, you know, the district has done, I think, a really good job. There's specific people in our administration who handle that. And from what they report to us, you know, this issue is addressed. And I'm confident that it is, because I'm confident in the people who do address this. So,
I mean, you're talking about people who, they are professionals at that.
Yes. And I absolutely think that anyone that has any kind of immunocompromised issue, I do think they should be accommodated. Absolutely. And they were. So I think that's one of the things the district did right.
Where are you at with the current status of the health and safety plan? And I mean, just from my perspective, it feels to me like school's pretty much back to normal now.
Yeah, it is. And I, it's good. I go to a lot of the events, and yeah, it does. It feels good. The kids feel good, you know, to go, to the last band concert that I was at, it was almost brought me to tears, because I could see the difference even in the concerts from the beginning of the year till, you know, after the holiday break, the winter concerts. They were, they felt really good. And you could see the instructors felt good. the kids felt good. They sounded great, you know, so you could hear that, you could hear the improvements they were making because they were in school every day in an environment where they could practice in school. So
it's got to make you very proud.
It does.
You were a part of this, this big push.
It does. And I think that, you know, I'm sure it's an adjustment for a lot of people, but it seems to me everybody's been adjusting very well.
Yeah. Good. So Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Amazingly is going back into masks as of, I don't know if it's next week or the week after, but yeah, they're going back into masks.
Yeah. I think it's because of their break. I guess they're going to have a break as, you know, if it was spring break or, and they're worried about spring break or
right.
I
don't know. All the parties and super spreader spring break, right? What about Central Bucks?
Are we going to go back to masks after spring break?
No. Can you foresee Central Bucks having to go back, not just to masks, but to all this stuff? I mean, we're going to hit fall and cases are going to go up.
No, I don't think so. I think we made it through the Omicron scare pretty well.
Oh, that's right. We had a whole huge spike after it had already been pretty much normalized.
Yeah. So, I think that seeing how well the kids are doing, I mean, that's all the evidence I need to not ever even think about going back. And like I said, we made it through the winter scare. And I think, you can see the outcomes are not going to be any different if we're over mitigating the kids or not. I mean,
that was my big thing. I still have not received any answer from health department or schools or anyone else about like, hey, I was tracking this data.
Yeah.
None of it ever made any difference. Thank goodness you guys, Council Rock, Penridge, you proved what was clear to most people the whole time. Like it truly, honestly did not make a difference.
No, it didn't. And I'm,
in terms of stopping COVID, it made a big difference in terms of stunting the kids and causing all these community problems.
Exactly. So no, I think we're on the right track. I think that families can count on Central Bucks to be a place where their kids can be educated properly and just thrive. I see it in my own kids, the difference. I mean, you talk about last school year compared to this school year, man. Yeah. I mean, and I've tried to keep things as normal as possible for my kids outside of school this entire time. So I know the difference that school in that kind of environment, what it did to them. So it was hard for them to turn it off and turn it on for home and school. It was hard to watch. I think we're on the right track.
It's a good segue into what I was hoping to end with. What kind of outlook do you have for Central Bucks? I mean, thinking long term to maybe when the next school board elections come up and then the next and the next. I feel like there are a lot of conservative people or people who want things like normalcy for COVID, et cetera, who moved to Central Bucks from other places. I feel like this probably really helped it. But do you think that it's going to stay a battleground? Do you think the Central Bucks will turn more conservative in the future or kind of stay where it's at? What political direction do you think it'll take?
I think it's going to continue to be a battleground. But I think it's one worth fighting for. So I can testify to how much work it took to win. So I think if we can find good, solid people who are willing to put in the work, it's certainly worth fighting for. But no, I wish it wasn't such a battleground? Yeah. But I see the next election being, from what I understand, just as tight.
And important now. It's like
even more important.
It feels like it's probably never going to change now, this focus and newfound importance put on these school board.
Right.
Nobody was paying attention before COVID, and I don't know that we'll ever stop paying attention now.
No, I don't think we can.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Well, you have done a heck of a job on Central Bucks.
Well,
was
thank
super
you.
Proud that we got to endorse you, get to know you a little bit, observe this change that's happened while you've been on the board, and it's been awesome. Really appreciate everything you've done. So
thank you. I'll take the take the compliment.
Definitely. Thanks for coming on and chatting.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Catch up next time. See you.
Okay.